Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Check out our huge in-stock selection of TruBolt door locks. We have a variety of styles and finishes to suit your needs. TruBolt door locks provide homeowners and builders with quality door locks at an affordable price. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague, Jonathan Schanzer, the executive director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, recently in the region. But now everything is made new again by the Iran-Israel conflict and the president of the United States making routine remarks on Truth Social that may or may not last as long as it takes to read the Truth Social. For example, explosions ring out in Tehran despite Trump's order to Israel to stop strikes. For example, Trump rebukes Israel for post-ceasefire strikes. For example, Qatar-Iran ties scarred but should recover after missile salvo at U.S. base, according to the Prime Minister of Qatar. I'll stop there because Jonathan is going to help me sort through what appears to be chaos. Jonathan, a very good day to you. We'll begin with Mr. Trump. Announcing a ceasefire yesterday with no confirmation in any of the international papers I checked on. The Times hedge saying, well, the president says there's a ceasefire. We were told by Reuters and AP that there was no comment from Jerusalem or from Tehran. That was the last time I paid attention to what the president said before I checked with the people on the ground in the two combatants. How do you sort this out now, right now, Jonathan? How should we read the news going forward about this event? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think we need to understand one thing, that the Iranians understand that they cannot continue to fight and to succeed. They have the ability to fire missiles at Israel, and they have the ability to do occasional damage to Israel, but they do not control their own airspace. They have lost their nuclear program. We're still trying to get some confirmation of certain elements of it, but there is no nuclear program to speak of. They have lost this round, and it is not likely that they're going to be able to keep fighting in any way that would move the needle for them. And so when Donald Trump called upon them to end the fighting, I think they were only too willing to do so. Their response to the United States yesterday was scripted. They announced in advance where they were going to hit, how they were going to hit, and the United States and the Qataris were ready, and they neutralized the threat. There was, I think, little to no damage. 9 out of the 10 missiles were neutralized, and we've moved on. Of course, the Iranians did attack one last time as the ceasefire was setting in. The Israelis did not take kindly to that. And this explains Trump and his rebuke of Israel, because the Israelis want to make sure that they get the last word here. They do not want the Iranians to come away looking like they've had a victory on any level. But let me just say the irony of the Iranians attacking Qatar. This all began, John, you'll recall, this began on October 7th, when a proxy of both Iran and Qatar, by the name of Hamas, attacked Israel. Hamas has enjoyed significant military and financial support from the Iranians, huge amounts of financial support from the Qataris. To see the Iranians attacking Qatar at the end of 600 plus days of fighting, it's downright bizarre to see, but it does give one a sense of how this war has backfired horribly on both the Qataris and the Iranians. Neither side has come out in good shape.
The suspect nuclear weapons program will begin with the sites, Fordo, Parchin, and Isfahan. The damage to them is clear from the air, and yet what I've read, Jonathan, over the years is that bomb assessment is a very difficult art form and that it takes quite some time to know exactly with any probability that's worthwhile what the damage is. You've got to monitor the electricity, the activity around the site, who and what has access to the site. None of that could have happened in the last 48 hours. So what did we make of the damage that we're told was done to those sites?
Yeah, John, you know, the initial assessment, the BDA, as they call it, the battle damage assessment that came out 12 hours after the strike. You know, we heard from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, you know, essentially saying that it was the job was done. But, you know, when we hear the president speak in, you know, using words like obliterated in a BDA, it's not exactly, you know, to standard. What we have, I think, are several additional BDAs, updates to whatever, you know, the assessment was. It's going to take some time to figure it out. There is the concern about enriched uranium perhaps having been secreted away in advance of the strike. There's concern about whether or not the enriched uranium is maybe entombed at the Isfahan facility, which would be potentially good news. But at some point, someone should probably have to get in there and extract it. So there are things that I think, you know, we can point to right now where, you know, things need to be locked down. There needs to be confirmation. But generally speaking, from what I can discern right now, these were successful strikes using weapons that only the United States has and platforms that only the United States has. And that is a very good thing. We have shown the world what we're capable of. We are not engaging in some kind of long, protracted struggle with the Iranians. There is no state building. There are no boots on the ground. This was a one and done. The Israelis did most of the hard work striking the Iranian nuclear facilities, softening the ground, removing all of the air defenses, and essentially paving the path for those B-2 bombers to drop the MOPs, the massive ordnance penetrators, on these three nuclear sites. So I think, I don't want to say mission accomplished yet because it's not confirmed, but I think we are looking at a threat that has been defanged, and that is due to the partnership that exists between Bibi Netanyahu and Donald Trump. Yes, Donald Trump has admonished Bibi and warned him not to violate the ceasefire, this delicate and perhaps, let's just say, ambiguous ceasefire that Donald Trump has brokered. But I do think that let's just zoom out and acknowledge the fact that these two men partnered together in extraordinary ways to rid the world of a dire threat.
Regime change. The president used the language. Again, he oversteps sometimes on the basis of television always capturing the camera. However, regime change is on the minds of many people. And one of them is Mariam Rajavi, president-elect of the National Council of Resistance in Paris. This has long been associated with a less than attractive communist flavor to itself. It's sometimes called a terrorist outfit by the State Department, but its information over the years, my information from it, is that it tends to be accurate and well-connected. Calling for regime change or for the Iranian people to rise up. The reason I come to this, Jonathan, is because the regime has not changed its opinion of risk to Israel, a threat to Israel, damage to Israel, and Khomeini has chosen successors, all of whom do not care if Iran burns. The idea here is that otherworldly supreme Allah, they are ideologues. So is this war going to end with the regime in place?
Right now, it looks, John, like it will likely remain in place. The people of Iran have not risen up, despite calls from the crown prince, as he's known, Reza Shah Pahlavi. His command over the diaspora, I think, you know, remains to be seen. His command over the people on the ground remains to be seen. But I think it's positive that people are at least talking about this now, and they're talking about it openly. And the regime in Iran is weaker. There can be no doubt. And the Israelis have taken out targets that are associated with the repressive apparatus of what they call the besiege. This is the internal security forces. The Israelis have taken out IRGC installations. They have bombed the notorious Evin prison, where political prisoners have been held and tortured. There are signs that perhaps the regime is beginning to crack. But my sense, John, is that for Ali Khamenei to go down, it would require someone or several people from within to challenge him directly. In other words, a palace coup, right? Not some kind of external exogenous event, but rather people from the inside realizing that the leadership of this regime is no longer, if it ever was, something that was healthy for the nation of Iran. These, I think, are the big questions that we all ask ourselves right now as we look for aftershocks from this battle. If this war is in fact coming to an end and the Israelis are done striking, now comes the hard part, which is what do the Iranian people do with the opportunity that has been provided to them?
Announcements from Iran about how the ambition for a nuclear weapon or the ambition for what they call nuclear power or sovereignty continue. The chief of the Iranian nuclear power industry says we will continue to pursue it. Is that something that we're going to go through the dance again? NPT, inspectors, denials, cameras. We begin it all over again with a rebuild?
You know, I think it all remains to be seen. A lot of this has to do with the terms that Donald Trump is going to broker here, or Stephen Witkoff, perhaps more to the point. There are things that probably need to be put in writing, or there needs to be understandings that are expressed. And I'm not sure whether the regime is willing to do so. Mm. But we should be calling for the end of the hostage crisis in Gaza. We should be calling for an end to the practice of funding and arming proxies around the region. We should be calling for a demilitarization, if you will, of the missile program that the Iranians have put on display over the last 11 days or so. There are a lot of things that I think are left up in the air at this moment. And I am very curious to see how Donald Trump and his lieutenants, specifically Stephen Witkoff, who appears to be the man who has been tapped for this job, they're going to have to broker some kind of an understanding if the goal is to sustain relative calm in the region. But just to be clear, relative calm can only prevail when you have an end to the proxy project and when you have an end to the hostage crisis. And, you know, I think our big question right now is whether the regime can remain in place and also capitulate to the United States.
Jonathan Schanzer, Executive Director, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hey, everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports. The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.